The NPL Show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Hello and welcome everyone to October's edition of the EvoStick NPL Show. Anyone? Just me. Yeah, okay, we'll leave it at that for the moment. We're here at the proper award-winning Heating Hops in South Manchester. And round the table, we're joined by the great and good of the non-league world. We've got Andrew Simpson from the Cheshire Guardian.
Hello.
We've got Roy Sewell.
Good evening, folks.
We've got James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group.
Evening.
And we've got Ian Burke from 26 Now. Hello.
Hello.
I just got to point this out quickly, though, because obviously when we're recording this, there is some other game taking place.
Yeah.
So with no Aaron Flanagan.
Mm-hmm.
With no Alan Alcock.
Nope.
Ian Burke's cried off last minute.
No, I haven't.
Swampy's halfway around the world, and Alex McKenna's not turned up last minute. I think everyone's loyalty.
It shows who's got stamina.
Exactly.
It shows who's got non-league in the blood. Whereas some people, you know, as soon as you get a free ticket for the away section at Old Trafford, jump at the chance. So there you go.
It's a very serious allegation.
It's facts. It's facts. I can back it up with evidence. Right, so more civilised group of people around the table here this month. And we're here, I feel, to celebrate what has actually been a glorious month for football in the EvoStick NPL Premier Division, where we've literally got one of the tightest promotion races for October ever. Well, Whitby are out in front at the moment, and there's no stopping them. They even beat Barwell away. I mean, who saw that coming? I mean, Whitby Town, we interviewed Chris Hardy last week, one game at a time.
I was going to say,
very methodical.
What did you make of that? Because they're very reluctant front runners, is what I took from that interview.
Well, if you're in Whitby Town shoes, Roy, and you're managing this side who, let's be honest, no one expected to be up there after
including
17
them.
Games,
yes,
including
exactly.
them, and you're in charge of this, what appears to be an out-of-control juggernaut heading towards the National League North. How do you keep on top of that and make sure? Do you do what Chris Hardy's doing?
I do what Ranieri did last year, and that's basically enjoy it while you're there and keep it going for as long as you can. And to be honest, you know, good luck to them. They've always had quality football within them, even when they're down the bottom end. Teams that, and I keep saying this season after season, you know, teams that have to travel there don't look forward to it, and they're in a scrap every time, you know, regardless of where they are in the league.
But their away record's good, though, as well.
Well, what they've done now is they've sustained that little bit of home solidity into away results, haven't they? And, you know, they've got themselves in a nice little tidy position. No pressure on them, because nobody expects them to be there, possibly even themselves. So, like I say, Ranieri style, let's keep it going, and let's get the pizza out.
I think
that's a pretty good comparison, because I don't believe that they can quite believe that they are where they are, and I'm not sure yet that they're convinced that they can stay the distance. So, a follow-up question to that. At what point would they still need to be top in order for them to kind of go, hang on a minute, we've got a chance of getting promoted here?
I think they're probably there, you know.
Well, I wouldn't say that, yeah, because, I mean, you look at the league table and there's only Spennymoor, I think, has lost, you know, less games than them. I think they're, you know, they've lost three games. Spennymoor's lost two. Is there only one other team that's lost three as well?
Buxton.
You know, so, you know, the fact is, like, you know, They're in there amongst all the top teams, you know, all top form teams anyway. So they're in there on merit, aren't they? End of story.
I think it's a good point, but can I give a shout out to an amazing stat that I read from?
I've written his name down.
Yeah. Paul Connolly wrote a piece in the Whitby Gazette last week in which he said it took Whitby 36 games last year to get as many points as they've got now.
That's a brilliant start.
And it deserves a shout out. Well done.
That's Paul Connor from Whitby Town Radio, isn't it?
I think it's the same Town Radio and the NBL group.
Yeah.
That's superb. So Whitby Town are there. We wish them well. This is the beauty of this week's show, because we're coming into FA Trophy matches, so there's no jinxing it or anything like that. Next up, we've got Blyth Spartans. They had the change of manager. We mentioned it on EvoStick Extra. There's been a bit of a wobble. There was that 0-0 against Matlock, and everyone went, oh, they made that noise. But they've steadied the ship now.
Definitely.
And they're back up to second. So what does that mean?
Since that Matlock game, they seem to have improved quite a lot. I mean, again, I mentioned it last week on the show. They've gone unbeaten since. Everyone besides the scene thought straight away, Blythe going to win the league. Some people by 10 points, some people just going to scrape it. It's going to be a close season.
I believe was the
exactly. But it's coming into the role now, and it's starting to look more and more likely.
Because they brought in somebody who's managed academy players. He's made the step up. I think you said last month, might have been you, and that there's nothing wrong with the squad they've got. Mm-hmm. They just need to be put out there on a Saturday afternoon and do a job.
I think what you've got there, really, to be honest, is you said they had a little bit of a wobble. Armstrong's come in. He'll have his own ideas of how he wishes to play. He'll also look at the quality of the players and their strengths, because any manager that comes in and starts asking players to play in a manner that they're not capable of playing, isn't really doing a truthful thing with the lads. He's mostly seen the qualities of them, deciding on what sort of form he wants to play, what sort of formation he wants to play, and he's playing to the strengths of the players that he's got. So, all credit to him. And it'll be interesting up there. I feel that right the way down to Ashton United, it's game on. 5 spots there, that's how we go at.
Following directly on from that, I want to ask you a question and get a manager's view on this. Is it easier to go into a club like Blythe that are flying, have got established players, established squad, and take over that group? Or is it easier as a new manager to go into a team that's struggling whereby, and the reason I ask that is, you've got more licence to go in and change things straight away and go, right, I'm here, I'm going to put my mark on it. I'm curious the challenge Armstrong's got in that if it ain't broke, but then when you're a new manager, you want to kind of in some way say, I'm different to my predecessor. So what do you think's easier for a new guy?
I'd say it's going into a squad that's established because, if the squad's established and they're a successful squad, then obviously they're intelligent or knowledgeable footballers, and they should be able to adapt, to different styles, to different formations, to different patterns of play. And hopefully, they'll take on board the ideas that are being given them and slowly turn it round, as really what their results have reflected.
34 goals have scored this season, which is, I think, the most anyone's scored in the league. And, that's good. And the defence is pretty solid as well.
So I wondered if the change, and obviously Alan Armstrong getting used to A, just being a manager of senior players, and B, getting used to non-league, might have made the race for promotion more unpredictable. But I think he's adapting a little bit quicker than maybe I would have envisaged. So it's ominous for the rest of the Premier Division, by the way.
Buxton are 2 points behind Blythe Spartans, but they do have a game in hand. They do have superior goal difference to Whitby Town, so if they win that game in hand, then they go de facto top. There's a posh word. Buxton, another team like Whitby, there or thereabouts, due to always spending more on the weekend.
Yeah.
That's
result.
A very good result, isn't it? And so are they there to stay? They're not going to fade away, like I think McIntosh was hinting at.
Well, he can't hint that after they also beat Hensford and Whitby in the last month, so they've shown that they're as good as the people that are around them. They might be slightly happier not to be front runners. I just think this is a bit of a race that no one wants to be at the front of. It feels that way at the moment. But I think they're there to stay. I think they're serious contenders, definitely.
Yeah. What have you made of Buxton in the last month? Because they are proving the teams that they're playing against and getting points from.
I would go slightly against what Andy's just said there.
Oh, no.
I would rather.
We can't all agree that'd be really boring.
No, I think I think Martin would rather be top of the league and stay top of the league for as long as he can and keep it going, because, shall we say, the prestige of being top of the league brings on more challenges for yourself, as well as maybe the other teams that you're playing against, putting that little bit of pressure on you, making you play to your full capabilities.
When we spoke to Martin McIntosh a couple of months ago, he was saying how frustrating it is to get to November and December and then the scouts come in and nab his best players. It's easy to keep hold of your best players if you're top of the league. To say, look, we're going to be good chance we're going to be in the National League North next season if you stick with this.
It is easier, but I'd also, like I did mention to you, that Buxton are a nice club. They're a good club to play for, and I do understand the fact that they're right in the middle of Sheffield, Leeds, Manchester, and Derby. So they are sort of a hub of a wheel. where other teams can come in and take the players. But saying that, you know, if you treat your players well and you know, you treat them accordingly as a manager as well, I don't think Buxton have got a problem. And, you know, Martin, I nearly said young Martin then, because I tried to sign him for a crew when he was playing for Hamilton. But
he's not that old for a manager, is he?
Yeah, but, well, to be honest, Martin, you know, he's a level-headed guy. He's he plays his football in a way that he feels is right, you know, so that's, you know, sound, no problems at all. And, you know, maybe over the last, well, we could definitely say 4 years or four seasons, they've sort of teetered on it and ended up bridesmaids, you know, in big style. Never even caught the bouquet. But the fact is, like, you know, this time I think it's slightly different.
And we've obviously got Russia Olympic in fourth at the moment, James. And despite them coming on the show a few weeks ago, and we mentioned the Roy Sewell comments to the manager there as well. What do you think for Rochelle? Because they had that slip up on Saturday, but the form generally over the last 10 games has been pretty good.
They're doing well against the teams where it matters, if that makes sense, up the top end.
Yeah, apart from Frickley, yeah.
But that was the point to that. That's where they're dropping the points, it seems to be at the moment. Looking at the last couple of games, lost to Frickley, Nantwich Town again, Nantwich, not an easy team to play anyway, but compared, if you look at it on paper, top v bottom, you expected Rochelle to win that game. But they're a team that have been dormant for a while. And again, people on the show in the past have said, why aren't Rochelle playing for the playoffs? And now they're here. There's a lot of expectation, going back to what we were saying a second ago about Buxton and Whitby kind of maintaining the pace over the year. Going forward, you've got to expect them to be competing. But it's against the bottom half of the table as such, they need to start picking up the better results.
I mean, later on, we're going to cover off some of those teams in the bottom half, because some of them are ridiculous for where they are at the moment. And it's a cliche, but false position, I think you could tag to a lot of teams down there. And then you've got teams up at the top who you go, I never expected them to be fourth. And then the question is,
never expected them to be first.
Absolutely right.
Exactly. So it is a league in flux at the moment, and I think Rochelle are riding that wave.
I think that's true. I just think their success or how far they can go this season is inextricably linked to whether they can hold on to one player, and that's Alex Reid, who's scoring the goals.
Yes.
I read a couple of pieces in their local press this week about scouts flocking to watch him. He is under contract till the end of the season.
Every single show we mention him. Yeah.
If he goes, I think I'd feel more worried for them than I would about Buxton or Whitby, because there seems to be this dependence on. And that's not a criticism, by the way. He's obviously a great player, but if they lose him, where does that leave them?
But can't you be in a Frickley situation where you can get rid of your main striker and the other players then blossom?
Well, what I would say,
gamble, isn't it?
What I would say is that the chairman's the manager. He holds the purse strings. How much does he value his top goal scorer?
In a second, we're going to be trying to catch up with the new manager at Warrington Town. I am going to be that ambitious this week. Before that, though, just a mention for Hensford Town. A 3-1 win against Skem on Saturday, and they're in the mix, definitely. They
needed that, though, because they've had a little bit of a wobble. They've lost a few games, but it shows how good a start they've had, that even though they've lost them, they're still in the top five.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of pressure riding on Hensford, I feel, and the management.
I think more
there.
So than some of the other teams we've mentioned.
Yeah. And to be fair to them, they've got someone to compare themselves with, and that's Corby Town, and they've had a very good start.
Yeah. I mean, coming back to what we were saying about Rochelle, they've done exactly the opposite of Rochelle. They're getting the results against the lower end, but when defeats of Blythe, defeats of
in the last month,
Rochelle, Buxton, teams again.
Ashton United
earlier in the season as well.
I think that's a bad sign if you're losing to your direct rivals.
Yeah. But again, at the same time, they're getting the points where they're expecting to, and later on in the season, obviously when it comes to the winter, which Buxton will find out about. I know it's not a comment,
it's
bit,
not
but my
happen.
Choice.
I'm telling you, global warming sorted it. There's not going to be no snow in Buxton this
Buxton
winter.
Buxton are used to that year in and year out.
That's true.
Now, in sixth place, we've got Warrington Town. Now, obviously, last week we had Simo on Evo Stick Extra, and we had a good in-depth chat about everything that was going on at Warrington. It looks like they've hired someone now.
Yes,
I think
they
can say that, can't we?
It's this afternoon. They've appointed Paul Carden, who was most recently number two to Gary Brabin at Tranmere Rovers. He's managed at Southport previously. And he'll be assisted by Mark Beasley, who was player manager at Burscoe last season. And obviously,
very well at
Burscoe. Guided them to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So my initial reaction is that they are both really good appointments.
Beasley's a good manager, as he proved
against Spurs. He knows the league as well.
What's your take on the appointment?
I think it could be a good little partnership, that, you know, to be honest. Let's say, you know, Carden, he has been at Tranmere, he has been at Southport in his own right as a manager as well. Didn't quite work out for him, but has the qualities, has a good playing background, knows a few, you know, quite a few of the lads around the Liverpool area.
Yeah.
And it's, it's 15 miles or so, you know, down the 62. So, you know, he's in a little catchment area there that he's quite familiar with.
Now, as we alluded to, I'm going to try and now get an interview with Paul Carden, even though I don't have his phone number at time of recording, but I'm pretty sure I can get it quite easily.
So, joining me now, making his debut on the show, we're joined by the brand new manager at Warrington Town. It's Paul Carden. Hello, Paul. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. You're okay?
I'm all good. So welcome to the show. Last night, you took your first training session at Warrington Town. How have you found the club in the first, 48 hours, essentially?
Well, the training was, the lads were really good. I had a quick chat with them beforehand, just about, you know, a little bit about what we're going to do moving forward. And to be fair, just on the first training session, they really bought into what we were showing them last night and the bits of instructions that we were trying to put into the team. And it was only a small group because of the amount of injuries we've got at the minute, but the lads who trained last night really done well.
And what was it about Warrington Town that drew your eye and thought, I could manage that club? What is it about Warrington Town that made you apply?
I think firstly, the chairman's ambition was really the main thing. You know, he knows where he wants to get to. In fact, that's a bit of an understatement. He hasn't put any end on where he wants to be. He just wants to take the club and build the club to as big as it can be. Now, where that is obviously down to everyone in charge, really. And so it's just a case of buying into that, and he really sold that to me. And you know, that was a big thing. And the second thing was, I've seen the club with its success over the last few years. Obviously, when Reedy took them to the cup run with Exeter and that type of stuff, and the lads last season winning promotion, it's just a club that can move again. I think there's a lot of mileage in the club with the size of the town and how many people are there, and probably a lot of those people will argue that it should be a city. So just the whole project, really, and what can be achieved, really, you know, it just got me.
When you speak to Toba, you can see the enthusiasm in his eyes, and you can see, you know, the aspirations of the club. And like you say, with the town there as well, the size of it, there is so much potential. One of the things that the job advert had attached to it was they wanted a manager and an assistant manager. And you've got Mark Beasley come on board with you as well, who did so much good work at Bursko last season. It's quite a team you've got there now, with yourself and Mark.
Yeah, well, there'll be somebody else coming in next week as well on the management, just to cover all bases. That's obviously another positive with the club, in the fact that Toby wants everything done to the best it can be, and that's what I'm about. I don't like to wear cutting corners. And, you know, next week we'll have another member of staff on board. And as you rightly said, Mark brings so much enthusiasm and, you know, he's a good coach, but he's got a good eye for players with what he's done at Bursko on such a small budget. So he knows the level below, the one below that, he knows this level. The other person who's coming in knows this level inside out. And obviously I know a little bit about the level and the ones above, So we're covering really what we wanted to achieve, and that's to sign as good players as we can, put as good a squad together as we can, and, you know, achieve what everyone wants, really, and that's the climb as high as we can.
What have you made coming into it from the outside of the NPL Premier Division this season? We'll come to the FA Trophy game in a second, but the Premier Division this season is so competitive and there's so many teams. Warrington are in a relatively good place, but there's so many teams below you who could literally just put a run together. There's no margin for error, really, is there, in this league?
No, there isn't. and there's a few teams below us with games in hand who only need to win one of them to go above us. But the flip side of it is we haven't drew a lot of games, so there's nothing to stop us putting a good run, strong run together. But the league, as you say, is very competitive. There's a lot of teams looking at what Salford are doing, looking at what Fleetwood have done in the past, what Fylde are doing, and they want to get up and they want to mix it in the Conference North. That's obviously our aim as well, but as you say, it's competitive in that, but it makes for a good league, and it makes for challenges to all the managers and to the players, and that's what people want to see. People want to see tough competitive games, and from top to bottom, you can't really predict scores because of how competitive it is.
And just lastly now, Paul, with Nantwich coming tomorrow, you mentioned the challenges and how tough it is. It's a bit of a baptism of fire, this one, I'm going to suggest. There's easier teams to come to Cantilever Park to get through to the next round of the FA Trophy. Nantwich Town are very, very tough. What are you expecting tomorrow?
Well, exactly that. A tough game. I've seen Nantwich twice this season, just by chance with them playing Marine. And I've gone down to Marine just to take a game in, because Sean Hessey's my mate. And I've been impressed with Nantwich, the way they play. They've got some really good players, good footballing players, which is always good to see, who affect the game in the right way. They don't just rely on any physicality. They do try and play. So, it's going to be a tough game, but hopefully, on the back of what I've seen last night with the lads, their enthusiasm, the willing to work, hopefully we can give them equally a tough game and come out the right side of the result and make sure we're in the half for the next draw.
Well, Paul Carden, manager at Warrington Town, thank you for taking the time out your busy day to come on the show. And a big congratulations to you and Mark for your appointment, and all the best with the season.
Cheers,
ahead.
Man.
Paul Carden there, manager at Warrington Town, and I think it shows intent. We mentioned this last week, didn't we?
We did, and I think it kind of we preempted when we were saying that this is an ambitious club. Being, you know, the appointment will be of a nature that says we're serious about getting promoted this season. The concern I have for Warrington, and it's been reinforced by the fact that they lost again at the weekend, is they've lost 8 games already, and I think the margin for error that Paul Carden's got. Obviously, he wants to get in, look at his squad. There might be, like we saw, Alan Armstrong, there might be a few more defeats while he... And they're running out of that kind of slack. They can't afford to lose many more games, and we're only in the middle of October. So, yes, they're sixth in the table, but we'll come on to, I'm sure, shortly about this hulk of teams that are going to eat up the ground if they win their games in hand. I had a little look yesterday, and the highest number of games that a team have lost in the recent seasons and still finishing the top five was Ashton, and they lost 14 games a couple of years ago, which gives Warrington half a dozen, maybe.
Do you reckon this season...
Do we really need Berkey anymore?
Do you reckon this... No, but don't...
Yeah, I think...
Do you reckon this season's got the possibility to have...
More? No, because I think there's some of the teams we're going to talk about later are going to get their act together, and that's where I would be worried for Warrington.
Okie dokie. And remember, though, Warrington Town, they did retweet last week's show. I think they were happy with the balance that we gave.
I thought we gave a really balanced analysis.
Really balanced.
I am going to say that.
Everyone won last week. Spennymoor Town are in seventh currently. We obviously spoke to Jason Ainsley last week. They've done marvellous things in the FA Cup. They've got a very good... time, which should be on telly, said it again, against MK Dons. Cliche time, here you go. They've only played 13 games. This is Nantwich Town all over again, isn't it?
It is, but then looking at, like, I know it's very, very, it's about 4 months early, looking at AGM Cup rules, they should be fourth in the table as such. So these are, when we say about dark horses, and by the way, this is because of football web pages, and that actually sound quite smart this week, by the way.
Yeah, sure. Do you? Yeah. I'm joking.
It's a reference. I get this opportunity. But again, the same moment in time, they are one of the teams that have got that capability to shock the league. And then everyone said at the beginning of the season, potentially for the playoffs. But now,
not a shock, though, is it?
It's not a shock as such.
Because we all predicted
but
it.
The biggest shock is playoffs, not to have a go at the league. And again, if they win the games in hand, never mind.
This is great. This is perfect. This is proper November fodder, this question now. Oh, here we go. I've been waiting for this for a whole year. Would you rather have points on the board or games in hand?
It's points gonna in be... your pocket is what's all matters. But the point is, the quality of Spennymoor, it's there to be seen. They've lost the least amount of games, 2 games. They've got something like 3 to 4 games in hand.
29 goals scored in that time as well.
They're battering on all fronts, and to be honest, they're mean with it as well. You know, and you know when you've got a mean team, they're not a nice team to play against.
I don't know. I mean, this is going to be tricky though for them, isn't it? Because they've obviously got the FA Trophy this weekend, and then we're into FA Cup territory. The trip to MK Dons. I don't mean to jinx it for you, Jason Ainsley, but I do think you've got a very good chance against MK Dons with the side you've got. And then you're dealing with the Salford question. I mean, Spennymoor will get knocked out eventually, and then how do you deal with that?
Well,
it's all questions for the management, isn't it?
Salford answered it quite simply, didn't they? You know,
eventually.
You can't, you know, at the end of the day, you know, regardless of whether you're in the FA Cup, Trophy, League, habit of winning is an habit of winning, and it doesn't matter what sort of game you're in against. If your attitudes are right and your manager's attitudes are right, he'll get you in the right frame of mind to, you know, believe you can beat anybody anywhere.
And it's looking like a stonking season for the North East clubs this year. Season wasn't good enough for the North East, this season it looks like you're going to have three up there or thereabouts. Ashton United, part of the Mancunian army in the MPL.
They've improved, haven't they?
They have improved.
I think they have got a great chance, as they always seem to have done, of being serious challengers to finish in the playoffs. So, again, with that changeover of management, people getting embedded, looking at the players, getting their message across. There was a dip in form around the old management team leaving and the new guys getting settled, but they've picked up, only lost one of the last six, and I think are well set, definitely.
They're on 25 points. It's the same points as Spennymoor, but they have played four games more. They played three games more than Matlock Town, who are also on the same number of points. Apologies again to Matlock Town, just to make it official. I did say that you'd nail Altrincham, and that just didn't happen, did it? But nearly did. But they've got games in hand. They can't be ruled out, can they, Matlock Town? They just need to get their, just need to believe it.
I wouldn't say that. They can be ruled out, as I'd say, obviously, you know, looking at the tables, and that which couldn't neither.
We'll come to them in the second half.
I think there's three there, Matlock, Micklover and Nantwich. They're pretty consistent how they've just been chugging along behind the leading group. And they always say, you know, there'll be one comes from the pack that'll fly into those playoff spots, and it could be one of those three. History tells you that you know, maybe Matlock might drop away, as will Micklover, as will or could Nantwich. So it's basically the one that, you know, fancies the chase, fancies the fight, and fancies rolling the sleeves up to make sure they had a bit of consistency in there for the rest of the season.
Reinforce the same on Matlock, they deserve a little bit of love. They've had a great month. They've picked up a lot of points in the past. Since we last recorded, and it's built on just a little shout. It's built on a solid defence. We've kept six clean sheets this season.
Another 1-0 on Saturday.
Yeah, and that is a decent recipe for success. I don't know what their ambitions are. Like I say, they've flirted with relegation the past couple of seasons, so they'll just be loving being where they are at the moment and see where it takes them.
Sorry, sir. Did you say relegation? That's where we're going next. That's the end of part one.
What a segue that is.
Oh, coming up next is an advert, and then we're going straight to the bottom half of the table.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Welcome back to the Heat and Hops here in South Manchester, the award-winning. Right, in part one, you said about a team coming out from the pack and surprising everyone, and you mentioned Nantwich Town. I'm going to throw a couple of other names in there, and no disrespect to the clubs I'm missing. Workington, Stourbridge, Stafford Rangers and Ilkeston. Why not?
I just feel that now Workington, I've always punched their cards.
You've always picked them up as well, yeah?
I would say that they're in a little bit of a transition period at this moment in time, consolidating. They might not like that because they're most probably pulling out all the stops. But you look at results and you look at league positions, and that's what tells you, you know, possibly is going on there. And it won't be a bad thing, you know, just have a one season out of the limelight, because you know they've been in there, haven't they, and they've been punching away. Starbridge depends on
the cup run, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe the focus has gone onto that a little bit more, and the like of Ilkeston, you know. What can you say about Ilkeston, you know, other than the fact that, you know, they've ridden a little bit of a controversy from the start of the season, and they've slung, you know, a couple of little results in there, you know, and that's all credit to the, you know, the players and the staff, you know, that's trying to keep a little bit of continuity going.
Now, just to mention Stourbridge, because obviously, we are gonna speak to Stourbridge again. All these clubs who keep getting repeated airtime, I do apologise, but you can't ignore the fact they're in the first round of the FA Cup. This match against Whitehawk, that club that Jim White on TalkSport doesn't know anything about, it's going to be an interesting one, that one, but quite winnable for Stourbridge, and the potential then to be in the second round, which is amazing.
Whitehawk are a decent side.
They are a decent,
you know,
that,
when all
yes.
said and done. I mean, this isn't just this season.
I think if you compare them to Dover, that's where I'm coming from, yeah, with my...
Stourbridge clearly fancy it. And it was really fascinating to compare the answers that Gary Hackett was giving you to what Jason Ainsley was giving you. I think Gary Hackett was very clear that the FA Cup, maybe because it's in front of their nose, is their priority at the moment, and was probably less convincing when you asked him about juggling the two. I mean, he said it's very, very hard, and we really fancy our chances against Whitehawk. Whereas Jason, I think... possibly because he's got a bigger squad or more depth in his squad.
And expectations. As well.
Perhaps, although scenes. Stourbridge would certainly expect to be a lot higher in the league than what they are. Yeah. But I think there was that contrast there between the two, and it was very clear to me listening that Stourbridge were, we want to get as far as we can in it. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, by the way. But it's how far behind they are going to be in the league when that run comes to an end. Although they obviously believe that run's going to go a little bit further.
I mean, look at the last six games as well. It's evident they are concentrating everything on the cup. 6 points out of six. And compared to the other two, who have literally flown out the last couple of weeks, right up there in the form tables. So it's evident enough that Stourbridge are looking at more cup success. But again, as you just said then, later in the year, we've seen what happened to Nantwich last year in the FA Trophy, missing out on the playoffs. It's happened to teams in the past.
Now, I would just like to put on record, don't worry about it, Stafford Rangers. It's all part of the service. But since I interviewed your manager, Neil Kitchen, at Marsden Road, you won that game 3-0. You then followed up by a 2-1 win, and then another 2-1 win. And there you go. Stafford Rangers, very attractive side to watch. They're feisty as well, and I wouldn't put it past them to put on some form in the coming months. And I think we were all expecting that, weren't we? We just weren't expecting the start they had.
Yeah, although it wasn't so much that they were getting beat, though, weren't they? They were drawing a lot of games in the first few weeks of the season, and then they've won the last three, so they have momentum. Can we use that? It took us quite a long while to get that word in this week's podcast. So I think I expect them to this run to continue a little bit longer. They've had some good wins in that sequence as well, and I think they're just starting now in striking distance of the middle of the table. I think we're going to this time next month. I think Stafford will be a lot higher in the table.
And do we think Ilkeston will be a 3-2 win against Colville on Saturday? Ain't bad.
I think it's Colville. I'm not going to come to them in a second, but Colville are starting to slip away from their good form at the start of the season now. So,
well, they had good form, then bad form, then good form, and now we're saying they're going into bad form again. Is there anyone who have missed? For example, Halesowen Town, Marine, Grantham, Barwell.
Halesowen are actually, they've only lost one of the last nine games, which you'd think they should have more points on the board, but they're really struggling to score goals, and it's something their managers touched on in interviews with their local press down there, that they don't have, or haven't shown so far, that ruthlessness that they need to be a little bit higher in the table when their form's actually pretty good. They've been hard to beat, so they might be a little bit disappointed they're not a little bit closer to the top five.
I mean, John Hill, when we interviewed him at the Weaver Stadium in August, was mentioning just the injuries they've had. They've clearly sorted all that out now, and goal scoring is a problem, but they are 12th. They're higher than Stourbridge.
They are. Well,
they nearly beat
which is very important.
Oh, God, did I say that aloud? I'm so sorry. I feel like I've entered some kind of diplomatic incident there. I'll back out as quickly as possible.
Sometimes, like, you know, your injuries does help to bring a little bit more depth to your squad when those players become available. because obviously the lads that you've put in there, you know, they've been blooded, they find a feet and hopefully find a little bit of form. So you'll have a decent squad there, you know, to be able to call on. And really, that's the only time you can really put a measuring stick against them, you know, when they're firing on all cylinders.
Now, we've mentioned Mikulova, we've mentioned Hales Owen now, and Grantham Town we've been mentioning all the way through Evo Stick Extra, and Barwell and Marine and Stafford Rangers and Ilkeston. Roy, you said, in fact, you've said this now on every single show we've done this season, that this league isn't going to be split into three, it's going to be split into two.
Yeah.
But you weren't clear where the line was going to be drawn. Is the line drawn at 20th?
No. No, I wouldn't even say that, to be honest, because the likes of Skelmersdale, you know, they're capable of slinging results in and getting themselves off the bottom of the table. They only need two wins, you know, and they're out of it. But same again, you know, we were all talking about Corby as being, you know, one of the, shall we say, candidates, I'm not going to say favourites, for getting relegated. And Frickley, you know, they picked up a little bit of form. They've dropped back into the relegation thing. All these teams, you know, they're more than capable of slinging a little run together. And I still wholeheartedly feel that it's going to be split in the half, two leagues, two divisions. And it's going to be, obviously, we get back to that word again, consistent. You know, it's a team that it's that little consistent streak, regardless of where they are at this moment in time, that'll shoot up.
Frickle Athletic.
They have the new manager bounce and then it's bounced right back.
But then
they beat
Rushall on Saturday.
True.
This league is crazy. Obviously, Corby Town have had a new manager. And once again, Benny's going to be bold on this week's show. And he's going to now speak with the new manager at Corby Town, Gary Mills.
So, on the phone now, we're joined by the newly appointed manager at Corby Town. It's Gary Mills. Hello, Gary. How are you?
Good evening. How are you?
I'm all good, mate. So, congratulations on your appointment. How do you feel?
Yeah, obviously, it's a huge job. Obviously, delighted to be offered the job and say I've got a lot of hard work on my hands, but no, looking forward to it.
Now, I've been to Corby Town. It's a very big club. It's a well-run club. There's volunteers on a match day and it's well supported. It's quite a big job, this, and that's if you take aside the league position at the moment. What do you think of the challenge ahead for yourself and the rest of your managerial staff at Corby Town?
As you say, it's a huge job. The infrastructure in the club's there, the academy's there. It's a big football club. Where we are in the league at the minute, it does not reflect the football club off the field. So we're going to try and build a team and get players that reflect the club off the field and try and push us up the division.
Now, first things first, though, you've got this match in the FA Trophy. And it's an obvious question, and I'm sorry, Gary, to ask you an obvious question. But is it a distraction, the FA Trophy, or is it just a case of getting some goals scored and getting some victories on the board and building some momentum? Any game will do for that kind of thing.
Exactly that. Whether it's FA Trophy, league, friendlies, we want to get a winning mentality at the football club, and we want to get used to winning football matches. Losing games is a habit, and hopefully we can get a few wins, and that becomes a habit as well. So I don't care what it is, whether it's a five-a-side in training, we want to build a winning mentality at the football club.
And what's your immediate plans then for the coming months? Is it to see what players you've got, or is it to freshen things up, or what's your plan?
I want to give the players that we've got a fair crack at the whip, to be honest. I want to see how they buy into my ideas of what I want to try and do. And if they don't buy into the ideas, then I'll be looking to replace them. As ruthless as it sounds, that's how it's got to be. I want players at the football club that are fully behind me, fully behind my staff, and fully with the football club. So I'm going to give the group that's here the opportunity to show me that. Then I'll be making decisions on two or three of them.
There's been the odd occasional glimmer, good performances and good results, and that does offer hope for Corby Town. It's a difficult relegation going from the National League North into the NPL. There's been lots of sides who've gone straight down. And we wish you all the best of luck, Gary, in turning it around. But there is a nucleus there of a good side. And as we said, it's a very good club, Corby Town.
Yeah, as you say, there's some good footballers at the club and some good lads. And I think they need some confidence, they need some belief, and they need to stick together. So, yeah, as you say, there's some good lads, but we need results on the football pitch. And that's the first and foremost on our priorities, is building the team that can get results on the football pitch.
And hopefully that all starts this weekend. Corby Town against Stafford Rangers. I have to be fair to Stafford Rangers. Best of luck to both sides. We hope football's the winner. But Gary Mills, all the best of luck in your new role. And thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to come on the Evo Stick NPL show. Much appreciated, mate.
Not a problem. Anytime. See you. Thank you.
Gary Mills there, manager at Corby Town, if I'm lucky. I've basically gone for managers I don't have the phone number for, so...
It's ambitious,
but I reckon I can do it. Just a couple of secretaries and chairmen, and we're there. Don't worry. But it's an interesting one for Corby Town. It's an interesting one for everyone, really, down that neck of the woods.
They need to score some goals.
Yes, they do, yes.
It's as simple as that.
So, welcome back to the Heating Hops. Round the table, we've got Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian.
Hello.
Got Roy Sewell from Non-League World.
Good evening.
Which is a new website I've just created from scratch. And James Hayes is here from the NPL Facebook group.
Evening.
Which you can get involved with at...
Facebook.com/groups/the NPL or on Twitter at the NPL group.
Now, you've asked for correspondence this month. Yes. What did you ask?
Because again, we've not done it on the extra for the last couple of weeks.
We're doing it next week. I promise it's back next
week. So we've just done a wall correspondence. However, they've all seemed to have joined Aaron, Alan, possibly Burke. So everyone's gone watching. Who watches this? We're all here. So we've only had two real comments.
Two?
Yes.
What's the only point coming to you?
Well, three.
Make them up.
Well, all right then.
Jeff from Corby says, could do better.
Yeah. Well,
Jeff.
Yeah, right. So, quickly, Matt Joyce, Buxton battling above for the weight there with such a small squad. Decent start with a few games thrown away. Could do better, but we don't have the squad yet, short of a forward or two. Michael Holland of Marine, another season of struggle for Marine, 15 goals in 16, and one of them in games scored 4 against Colville.
I can only blame myself, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then, obviously, this is going to be mentioned in the Division 1 show now anyway, because every Athlesborough fan's excited.
Oh, God, get over it.
We've had a good season, but Ben Hayard, it's fantastic to see, for once, Athlesborough competing at the top end of the table rather than struggling for 20th, 21st, 22nd as normal.
Good, good. And that question I asked to Dave McMillan at Marine, is this your year? I'm sorry. It could yet still prove to be the case. It's the first qualifying round of the FA Trophy this Saturday, and we're going to quickly go through this with the respect that this competition deserves. This is proper, this.
We're out.
Okay. AFC Rushden Diamonds against Colville Town. Rushden Diamonds have been plateauing a bit, haven't they?
They had the FA Cup distraction. Yeah. They're 8 unbeaten in the league. So you just, again, a bit like, who were you talking about? Hales Owen. You think they'd be higher than they are. They've drawn a few. They all only played 10 league games. They're miles behind everyone else. Okay. So I think they'll really fancy this against a struggling Colville. And I would... Yeah, I'm going to say it. I think they're favourites.
Ashton United against Marine. This one could go...
Could go either way. Depends on what East had one, because a lot of teams see the trophy as a distraction rather than help. Then
at this level, though, do we see it as a distraction?
Obviously, because the money's going to be obviously the main focus of point. But again, teams like, when we come down to some teams like Stamford and Antwich, who've had cup runs, can they afford a second run as well? That's the big concern.
The money usually attracts the directors and the chairman, doesn't it? You know, if they choose no, and the treasurer. But I would say that Ashton United, going off league form, you know, should be able to see Marine off. But, you know, Marine, they disappoint me, you know, in the fact that, you know, the traditions and everything and the quality of the players, you know, around the Liverpool area, you know, that they don't punch a little bit harder, you know, than what they're capable of or what they are actually doing. But I can't see Ashton United getting beaten by them. But it'll be a close game.
We've got a Division 1 show out this month as well, and we're going to be interviewing various teams involved in the FA Trophy this weekend. Bamber Bridge against Trafford. On paper, you've got to give it to Bamber Bridge, haven't you?
Yeah. Bamber Bridge are a really high-pressuring team, so it's a case of can Trafford control that at this moment in time? Because, again, if Wadaka's out, they've been out for the last couple of weeks, so they've lost their main...
focal point going forward. So it's a good opportunity there for Trafford to try.
Last couple of games they've not done too well, have they? And was it Clitheroe battered them
4-1?
4-0, yeah. Or 4-1, yeah. I think I go back to the same thing that I said previously in previous shows, that the management team at Bamber Bridge are the two that fire them up and get them going and get them to realise the responsibilities on the football field. The fact is, if they haven't got a couple of players, influential players in that team, then they're a different team completely.
Exactly.
You know,
well, even everyone who's been at the awards, what George is like anyway. So Bamber Bridge will be up for this game completely straight away.
I think there's some goss there.
What happens at the award do stay?
Well, yeah, well,
award
I was going to say though, but
all people need to know is that I didn't get a hotel room last time. I stayed in the lobby all night.
I offered
doing
you
radio
room.
Shows, interviewing anyone who'd walk past.
But the thing is,
rock and roll
with Bamber Bridge. They've had a little bit of a wobble, and it just so happens that it's coincided with Trafford getting a couple of results. So that's a very interesting one. That could be like a 2-2 draw or something like that,
Now, Bedworth United, obviously, got pedigree in cup competitions this season. Playing St. Neots Town. Stamford beat St. Neots Town, didn't they?
Yes.
They did in the FA Cup. It's obviously Bedworth are playing a team a step higher, but they were in the same division last season. So, who knows?
Score draw.
Replay.
Thank you. But I think Bedworth have got a good chance in that one.
Cracking fixture here.
Now, we're going to interview Glossop North End on the Division 1 show, and they're travelling to Silverlands to take on Buxton.
Boom.
Does this depend on what Martin McIntosh is feeling like? I mean, they can't turn the nose up at a cup run, can they, Buxton?
This will be a cracking crowd.
Yeah.
End of
right,
story. This will be a big crowd.
Yeah. That's one of the ties around, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Be a big crowd. Great payday for Buxton. At the end of the day, Glossop will be well up for it, bang on for it. So Buxton are going to have to, put their 10-ounce gloves on for this one, I think, definitely.
Carlton Town are playing St. Ives Town, and we're going to interview Carlton Town on the Division 1 show as well. Anything about St. Ives, other than the famous nursery rhyme about St. Ives?
One of our teams knocked him out in the cup as well, if I remember rightly, but...
This is the Cambridge St. Ives, isn't it? It's not the one in the southwest.
In that case, it might have been Rushden. I think it was Rushden and Dickinson.
Carlton are having a miserable season.
I think this could be a score draw as well.
Do you?
Thanks.
A manager's view on this. If you can't buy a win in the league, do you kind of go... You look forward in a way to a cup game because there's less pressure?
Well, do you know what... If you can, consolidate a decent result, it can kick you on in the league, can't it? It can be a little bit of a time-saving period.
I remember FC United going to Carlton Town when Carlton Town were about fifth from bottom, in the Division 1 South.
Yeah.
We were in the playoffs at the time, played them in the Duton, Carlton Town won. So... There you go. And we played a very strong side in that one. So there we go.
Yeah.
Ooh, this one's interesting. Colwyn Bay against Witton Albion.
Wow.
I think this is also one of the ties of the round. It's also one of the most incestual ties of the round.
Yes, because half the team.
half the Colwyn Bay team has played for Witton, and half the Witton team used to play for Colwyn Bay. So there's loads of subplots to this as well. I interviewed Rob Hopley for our paper this week, who was with Colwyn Bay for 8 years. Massive fan favourite there. Going back to play there for the first time for a very in-form Witton. But it's going to be really odd for Witton fans because Danny Andrews is now playing for Colwyn Bay, who's an unbelievable hero at Winchton Park for what he achieved in the 5 years there. It's going to be a very strange experience for them, wanting Danny Andrews to be on the losing team. They're also two teams in form as well. And so, a little bit like the Buxton and Gloucester one, I think it's one, obviously I'm biased, but I think it is one of the ties of the round, this one.
Corby Town against Stafford Rangers.
This is going to be an opportunity for Corby to kick start their season, I reckon. If they don't get...
Well, you know the question
they
ask the new manager, don't you?
Go on.
Are you up for the trophy this season? Or is it going to be a distraction to you? And obviously, at time of recording, Jake, we don't know what the answer was, but...
They've got to be up for it.
You can answer two ways if you want. If you want to do one answer now and then the second one...
No,
I'll
sit by the guns. Even what the manager says, Corby have got to be up for this one just to kick start the season. Even
need a win.
They just need a couple of goals just to get started again. They know they've got the capability of doing it, but they're just not doing it at all. Stafford Rangers, again, depends on their what they want to do in the league or not, but again, Corby, it's got to be a must win for Corby, but I can't it depends what team shows up on the day.
I think it'll be Stafford Rangers by the odd goal.
Now we're to Goole, and they're hosting Blythe Spartans. Banana Skin?
I think this all depends on Blythe's attitude this game.
Yeah.
Do you remember, I think you were assistant manager at FC United when we went to Goole, and it was horrible.
It was.
No disrespect, but
That was Ben Hughes that said that.
Yeah, no, what I mean is that they
made it horrible.
Obviously, there's a gap in budgets and in player quality and that kind of thing. So as a manager of the lower league side, the underdog, you have to cut corners. And Goole cut corners that afternoon, and it wasn't very nice.
Well, it is a sort of all-round, isn't it?
Thing is, Radcliffe played them last Saturday, and Goole are horrendous at the back, to the point when Frank Van Gils literally leaps up, kicked the ball out of the keeper's hand and lobbed him in from the area.
How is little Frank Van Gils
doing? He's doing very well. He's a fan's favourite now, but defensively they're not the best at all.
It would be a massive upset.
Yeah,
it would be a massive upset,
but Blythe, with the strike power they've got, you can't see it going any other ways.
Ilkeston against Barwell.
Ooh, this is good.
This is going to go either way. This is literally either
toss a coin. Ilkeston slightly better form, but
we play on that one.
This is ding dong, ding dong.
Now we're going to interview Market Drayton Town on the Division One show as well. I'm just getting all the interviews in now. Market Drayton Town traveling to Kettering Town. Right, I need to check this, but I don't think Kettering Town are having a good season. Is there a chance of an upset? I mean, Kettering are mid-table in the Southern League, and. You know, I think the crowd there expected them to be a lot higher. There's a kind of, you know, to-ing and fro-ing going on between the fans and the management and chairman and all this.
I can see this being either a 0-0 or a 5-5.
Okie dokie.
Carrying the win.
Kidsgrove Athletic against Soham Town Rangers. Why does that name Soham Town Rangers sound familiar? Did someone play them in the FA Cup?
Yeah, and we're not, again, I think Russian and Diamonds knocked them out, or I can't remember, one of the two. They were in the southern section of draw anyway.
What we made of Kidsgrove? Have they got a bit better?
They've got a little bit better.
I think everyone was expecting them to.
A little bit better. But they are still firmly in the bottom.
Well,
they're not in the bottom two, no. But they're probably not making as quick progress as they would have liked. The chairman was on record saying how much money he's spending on the team. So I still think they're favourites to win on Saturday.
Now, thankfully, I no longer have any involvement with the Southern League podcast, and therefore Leamington are top of the Southern League at the moment, but I'm going to suggest our mid-table sides in the NPL are better.
I wouldn't dispute that.
Michelover are travelling to Leamington. It's a clash of cultures, this one.
I think Leamington will be a problem for them, but I don't think it's a problem that Michelover couldn't handle, and I can imagine them winning by the odd goal.
Now it's Elite Town, and they're hosting Sutton Coldfield Town.
They'll be licking their lips.
I love the ultras at Sutton Coldfield Town, and I've got a lot of time for Sutton Coldfield. In fact, Sutton Coldfield, Neil Toof got in touch, didn't he, when I went to Stafford and said, "Did you get a nosebleed going that far south?"
Yes.
I've looked on Trainline. I think it's £60 to get to Sutton Coldfield. I'm considering it for the spring.
And it's £80 to get out of it.
I'm considering it. So I do have every respect for Sutton Coldfield Town, obviously. But if I'm taking a step back and being impartial, Leek Town have got their favourites for this, haven't they?
And also, they're in good form at the moment as well. They're climbing the table after
a really bad start.
And they're in a good form. And Sutton arm, I think Leek will really fancy their chances. And so they should.
Lincoln United against Gresley.
This could be a good tie as well, because Gresley are doing quite well in the league. Division 1 South, a lot better than
they were doing
expect.
All right, but they've lost three in a row, so they're in a wee rut, shall we say.
Yeah,
so,
I think that could be a goal scoring draw again.
And do you think Lincoln United will just want to? They've got 9 games on the board, haven't they? They need to catch up. They can't be doing with all these cup competitions, can they?
No, it depends what their ambitions are.
They want to be promoted.
Well, in that case, then, Gresley need to get through.
Mosley against Farsley Celtic.
Mosley win any day of the week because Farsley knocks us out.
Farsley.
I think
Mosley are a little bit inconsistent at this moment in time. You know, they sling a good result in and then they get battered.
I don't think they've changed the team off since last year by looking on paper, and it just seems to have affected him a little bit. But it just doesn't seem like a normal Monster team. Normally the mid-table, I don't know if it's just like a rebuild.
No, they're always on the edge of the playoff spots if they choose known. And they're really consistent, you know, or they have been over the past couple of seasons as regards the score lines. Some of the scores, you know, against some of the teams they played against, you know, they just don't ring right.
Ramsbottom against Prescott Cables. Prescott Cables' manager departed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is a shame because it's unrelated to football, isn't it? It's job circumstances.
Prescott Cables, though, they weren't having the best of seasons anyway, were they? But neither have Rammet, to be fair. Yeah. So
I mean, Prescott are always a team down near the bottom. Rams, but if, no disrespect to Prescott, but always down near the bottom end of the table. Even though they had a fantastic start to the league, the one of them that I've always tended to be struggling. Rams bottom on the other hand, the strike force they've got available, they've got Danny Webber and Gareth Seddon.
Boom, bang, a bang fixture here, I feel. Rush Olympic against Hales Owen Town.
Great score draw.
Replay.
Yeah.
Shaw Lane against Frickle Athletic. Now, if Shaw Lane want to sharpen their teeth...
It's the Gavin Allett derby.
Yes.
Frickle going to get stuck in, and that's what's going on. Let's be honest.
I feel as if it had been at Frickle, I'd have fancied Frickle slightly. With it being at Shaw Lane, it's their result.
Frickle have got the ability to score goals when it counts, or getting 4-0 draws, 3-0 draws. They are capable of doing it, so it's
only
not
one at the weekend, isn't they?
Yeah, I think Shaw Lane will have a little bit too much for them.
Now, do Kendall Town smell blood? They're travelling to Stormy Corner to take on Skelmersdale United.
They're a very good side in Division 1 North as well at the moment. They're about 8th at this moment in time, and just they're doing a lot more capability in moving forward. But I think they could do Skelmersdale here, especially with what's going on.
Spennymoor Town taking on Matlock Town.
We'll find out whether or not...
we'll find out 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Or quarter to 5. We'll find out whether Matlock's league form... replicates, you know, their games played and points collected.
If you were Jason Ainsley and you were sitting on that squad at that ambitious club, right, and you were in the first round against MK Dons,
and you want to do well in the league,
but you had that squad, would you go for it in the trophy as well? Just to go.
Me personally, yeah, because one simple reason. I don't believe that at non-league level you should chop and change and give rest and all this garbage. Like, I think you,
rotation.
Yeah, you need to play them while they're in form, because I'll tell you what, they'll be out of form just as easy the following week.
Now, this is a perfect opportunity to big up Stamford. We mentioned it last week. What a result against Wrexham.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely amazing. And I believed in you, Stamford. I believed in you, the last MPL shelf, and you'll find out. I was there back in your corner.
You're only saying that because Stampy keeps sending you a couple of
bottles over. He's not been in touch, actually.
Yeah, tell me to get those.
They're probably a stockpile at the Magnet, where we used to do the show. Stamford are hosting Hensford. This is the same question I just asked you about Spennymoor. Stamford want to get promoted. The chairman is clear on that. The FA Cup's brilliant for them. They can't afford the trophy as well, can they? At Division 1 South level?
Same answer, I think, isn't it?
If you're Graham Drury sitting with Stamford, you'd go for it as well?
Yeah, of course you do. You must do. You know, like I say, it's totally different. You know, people need to forget looking at, and some of the players need to stop looking at bloody Premier League footballers the way they dive about. Like, you know, at the end of the day, it's a different world. You know, you need to roll your sleeves up and do what you've got to do on the day.
Now, on this week's show, we're also going to speak to Stocksbridge Park Steels, because we've not had them on in a while. And they're going to be hosting Lancaster City, who we have had on.
Didn't Jamie Vardy used to play for them?
I was at Halifax yesterday.
Ballon d'Or.
I was at Halifax. Nominated. I was at Halifax Town last night, and
it was ice cream.
It took 5 minutes of broadcasters just mentioning the fact, Jamie Vardy played here. Back to football. Stocksbridge Park Steels against Lancaster City.
Good game on paper.
Both teams have got the moment. They have. Lancaster at edge just because of the fact they've got a bit more going forward again.
Stourbridge against Kingsland Town. Oh, I miss Kingsland. Do you know Miss Kingsland? I miss Kingsland.
It's a great away day, isn't it?
I liked the walks.
It is the Kingsland.
I thought the walks was great.
Yeah, it was a nice
it's very,
ground.
Very high up in
it
that stuff.
It took ages.
I had to take two survival kits with me.
But luckily for Kingsland, they just have to go to Stourbridge, which is just a short trip over to the West Midlands. Same question about spending more in Stamford, really. I mean,
how are Kingsland doing?
Oh, that's a good question. Well done.
I'd expect them to be doing well.
They're not doing well. They're 19th in what? Division 1 South, yes.
In the Southern League. They're going out then.
Yeah, Stourbridge.
Yeah. Just to let you know, St Ives Town are also in the Southern League, so that answers that question that we pondered earlier. Stratford Town against Grantham Town. Stratford Town, I think, how are they doing? Mid-table in the Southern League. Grantham Town, mid-table in the NPL. Nailed on for the NPL, really, isn't it, surely? Yeah. Warrington Town against Nantwich Town. Oh, what a debut for the
Ding Dong.
Huge game, yeah. What a start for Paul Carden. It's a big game against Nantwich. You're in really good form as well and had a great run in fact, a fantastic run in the trophy last season. Yeah. So, along with the Buxton game and the Colwyn Bay game, I think this is the other in that list of ties of the round.
And lastly, but not leastly, Whitby Town against Workington in what many people describe as a derby.
I don't really?
Know. Yeah, apparently. That's been a Boxing Day game in previous seasons.
Been, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're not mentioning Workington so far this month just yet. They've improved quite a lot, but again, depends on what Chris Hardy wants to do in the league. If he wants to continue pushing for it, can they afford a trophy run as well? But Workington won't make it easy regardless of the situation.
I don't like this devaluing the FA Trophy.
No,
I know I've done this presenter thing of pondering these questions.
It is Road to Wembley.
But it's doable, isn't it? Yeah. You can win this trophy.
Yeah. So. Of course you can. Well, Bristol proved that a few years back.
Nantwich made the semis last year as well, yeah. So it's just not like it's not undoable. But again, it's a lot under the mindset of what managers want to do as well.
So our message to all NPL clubs is go for it, especially if you play in the Southern League. Nail them. That has been this month's Evo Stick NPL show from the Heat and Hops.
Has Berkey been quiet?
He has been, Berkey. Yeah. Sensational.
I'm still here. No, I'm still here.
He's trying to get rid. I think
Blue
he's
moon.
Let's leave it with his stat because I think he's just scared with the fact that for the first time, and he's mentioned it on the private chat.
But we'll come to this on the Division 1 show.
That Radcliffe are going to be under
the pie. Yeah, we all know about Radcliffe. This is the Premier Division show, and you're not in the FA Trophy, so no Radcliffe. We're done here.
And you're only just in the First Division.
Look.
Well, yeah, I'll give you that one.
Look out for the Evo Stick Division 1 show out on this very same channel. But my thanks to Andrew Simpson this month.
No problem.
Thank you to Roy Sewell.
Yeah, thank you, man.
And thank you to James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, which you can get involved with.
Facebook.com/groups/TheNPL or on Twitter @TheNPLgroup.
So that's it for another month. We'll be back next week with Evo Stick Extra, but from everyone here at the Heat and Hops, you have fun in the FA Trophy.
Yeah!
The Evo Stick NPL show was brought to you in association with Evo Stick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.